Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Creature, Part 1.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? We're gonna have a problem here.
We're the Weird Sisters, we're the real Weird Sisters. All you other Weird Sisters are fine, but not the victors. Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Weird Sisters. I'm Martha.
And I'm Alice.
And today we're here to talk about Creature in the fifth book. And that is spelled K-R-E-A-C-H-E-R. We're not going to be talking about the creature from the Black Lagoon this week,
that's
Alice.
What I prepared all of my notes on.
Oh, no. Okay, well, we could maybe try to compare our notes and still get there in the end. I know you're a big fan of the Creature of the Black Lagoon, right?
Oh, definitely. Big time.
Alice is a big lagoon head, if you didn't know.
yeah, for sure. That's what I have as
is
my Twitter bio.
Is it the creature from the Black Lagoon or the creature of the Black Lagoon?
From.
Okay.
If you were a lagoon head, you would know.
Yeah, I'm glad I asked you because there's some people that wouldn't be sure, but you said that with confidence, as I knew you would.
Most people are lagoon heads.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of a generational thing, I think.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, the creature that we're actually going to be talking about here is the creature who works at number 12 Grimald Place at the beginning of the series. And by the end of the series, he is working at Hogwarts. And Harry is hoping that the creature will make him a sandwich at the end of the series.
Right. That's a line that I think we have mentioned before. And I know I've seen a lot of people criticizing online, which I understand. It's a little bit like, okay, Harry. Like,
right.
let's keep benefiting from slavery.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll get to that when we get to it. Don't worry. I don't know if the creature from the Black Lagoon makes sandwiches or not.
No, I don't think so. The creature from the Black Lagoon is very independent.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, let's jump into talking about Creature. Of course, he's only in the fifth, sixth, and seventh books. Alice is convinced that we're going to be doing two parts on Creature. We're not sure as we go through. We'll see how much content there is. I'm pretty sure that we're just going to be talking about all three books today, but for some reason, Alice has a creature head. Maybe you thought that it'd be a two-parter.
I was saying
about
that when it was about the
Black Lagoon.
Yeah, exactly. I was saying that when I thought it was about the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, okay, okay.
I do want to say really quick about Creature. I feel like, and maybe I've said this on the book club, I don't remember, but I feel like it took me kind of an embarrassingly long amount of time to realize that was a pun on the word creature.
I know what you mean. I think I like read it and I just assumed that was his name. And I feel like when names have ER at the end, I just always assume that it's like the action, like someone who does something. So I was like, what is creaching? Like, what I did, I feel like I remember thinking, like, what is a creature? And then I think he was kind of a creature man. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think I got it quicker than I got Grimald Place, at least. But
I hope I did. I don't remember when it clicked with me, but it was just one where it just looks so different the way it's spelled. that like that it didn't sink into me that it would be pronounced the same way as like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Right. Well, you're just so focused on like thinking of the creature from the Black Lagoon all times, Alice. So you probably were just like, that's so different. Like your mind wasn't going to go there.
Exactly. The creature from the Black Lagoon is a very unique character that is in his own league.
Exactly. Yeah, I've always said this, and you always say that too. But yeah, actually, before we even meet Creature, the creature from the Black House, not from the creature from the Black Lagoon, we get quite a few mentions of him. Yeah, it is. I wonder if the author intended it that way.
Maybe.
Some people refer to Girl in Place as the Black Lagoon, don't they?
Well, they could. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, we do get quite a few mentions of Creature before we actually finally see him for the first time. The first mention of him is where that we hear them talking about how Crookshanks threw the dung bombs. Well, Ginny's cover story about the dung bombs being thrown is that Crookshanks did it, and then Mrs. Weasley said, I thought it might have been Creature. He keeps doing odd things like that. And then Harry asks Ron and Hermione who's Creature, and Ron says he's a nutter. Never met one like him. Yeah, you've met so many house elves, Ron.
Yeah. Also, like, I mean, I know Creature is a little bit, like, in his own world and stuff, but that's not a very nice way of describing him.
No, it's definitely not a very nice way to describe him. Thankfully, Hermione comes in to defend him, but I don't think that we're really supposed to come away with this on Hermione's side, just like most spew things, because Ron says, his life's ambition is to have his head cut off and stuck up on a plaque just like his mother.
Okay, Ron. Which,
yeah, I don't know if Ron's really interviewed Creature that much about his life's ambition.
Right. I don't know. I like how Hermione responds. Well, if he is a bit strange, it's not his
She's
fault.
Like, yeah, he is strange. She's like kind of conceding there.
I think Creature provides an interesting dilemma for Hermione because, you know, she wants to defend all house elves, but he's not very nice. And I think that is interesting, like, just to kind of throw that in there. Like, some of the other house elves we've met have been very sweet and innocent. Creature is different than that, but I think Hermione obviously comes down on the right side of history here of still defending him and still wanting the best for him.
Yes, she definitely, I mean, I think Hermione, it's a challenge for her because he's not just mean in general. Like, he says some pretty horrible things to her specifically as a Muggle-born. So it's kind of a personal challenge, I guess. And I think that that's actually, I mean, again, most stuff with house elves is not handled with a whole ton of grace or care by the author, but I do think it's a pretty realistic thing. Like, anybody working in any sort of like helping profession, like, the people you're helping might not necessarily want your help or might not necessarily be grateful for your help
or you. And the other thing is too, like, it's good, and I agree with you, a lot of the house elf stuff is not handled like very well, but it is good that we have a range of personalities in the house elves. They're not all the exact same. You know, Dobby and Winky were different, but they're still fairly similar. But Creature is very different than the two of them. So it is kind of nice to see a little bit of a range within this species.
Yeah, agreed. And then, of course, Hokey's very different, too.
Well, Hokey is probably more in the Dobby and Winky side.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, well, so yeah, we get that mention of Creature to start, and then Hermione does mention right away that Dumbledore says we should be kind to Creature too, which everybody just kind of ignores. So I do think that the whole Creature betrayal thing is kind of foreshadowed well throughout this. Like, as I was preparing notes for this episode, I was seeing like a lot of mentions of like, we need to be nice to Creature throughout this book, up until when we actually find out what Creature has done, that Creature lied. Yeah, that's our first mention right away, is Hermione saying Dumbledore says we need to be nicer to him. But once we jump ahead to the chapter, The Noble and Most Ancient House of Black, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Mary Grandpré's wonderful drawing of Creature. We finally get to know what Creature really looks like, and I have to say, he has been working out because he is very, very muscular.
Creature's buff.
Yeah, Creature looks like he could probably bench press, like, at least little Ginny. Like, he could lift Ginny above his head and, like, do, like, some, like, juggling with her.
When you look at his back and you can see, like, a lot of, like, rippling muscles in his back, it is interesting. I mean, he has been, I think he's been waging a war on the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, he has been. We do say that, but like he clearly has been like doing like some lifting, like lifting the furniture, like I don't know what, but like for however old he is, he's
very muscular. I mean, yeah. I guess buff is maybe not right the right word because like he's still quite spindly.
Yeah.
But very like each muscle very defined in his arms, back. Well, the sides, I can't quite tell if those are muscles or rolls. But
yeah, I think those are muscles that he's kind of hunched over. But I mean, yeah, it's kind of,
I'm
like,
assuming,
yeah, he's
so because he's so.
It's probably, it might be extra skin from like maybe he didn't used to be this buff, and the skin is kind of like just folded over because he maybe. Yeah, he has very hairy ears as well, and I don't want to say this for sure, but I think he kind of has a hairy butt as well, like his. This little tico's that he has, it doesn't really look like it's covering everything. Either that or it's extremely tattered and that's what I'm seeing on his butt, but this is one of,
you know,
our,
I haven't looked at the loincloth. I haven't looked that closely at the loincloth before, and I'm kind of regretting the fact that I'm looking more closely at it now. But it kind of does look like it's not really a real loincloth. It's just like a little
kind of a
towel
skirt.
Like,
yeah,
that's been ripped off very high up to leave,
yeah,
most of him, unfortunately, a little bit, you know, visible.
Yeah, he's showing a lot of skin, I think, but it's hard to tell because it's just black and white drawing, so I'm not exactly sure what's skin and what's just
and
tattered cloth.
Let's just be clear, this is not a plea to Mary Grand Pré to release the colored photo.
No, I think I'm fine without it. There's also kind of an unfortunate angle of his knee, like where it's positioned. It's kind of hard to tell what's knee and what's other body part.
Okay, I didn't think that, but...
Okay, well, I want to go back to the ears really quick, too, because... There's so much hair protruding from those ears.
It's actually, to me, it almost looks like fur.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of reminds me of how my cat's
like a gremlin.
Ears. How my cat's ears look, like, with,
yeah,
you know, the fur.
But in a lot less cute way.
Yeah, true.
All right.
Creature also has a very startled look on his face.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you say?
What do you say? Yeah, he looks like he's been caught doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing, or that
also I'm a little bit like, what's going on with his arm? Like, it's bending in a very strange,
I think he looks kind of like
his shoulder's
doing
been
like a Michael Jackson dance, like
I think his shoulder's been dislocated.
Criminal. I don't know, I think he's just moved his head because he's dancing. I could definitely see like a little fedora that he'd be tipping right there, like I would love to see the animated version of this, especially in color. Please, Mary Grand Pré, hear our prayer.
No, we're not.
And also, finally, last thing to mention is the nose. Very protruding as well. A bit of a Pinocchio nose, in fact. Now, we do know Creature lied. That's one of his most common...
I think maybe we should have known that Creature had the propensity,
yeah,
to lie based on the fact that his nose had grown several inches.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I don't think I've ever seen a nose on. I mean, okay, to be fair, this is a different species. I've never seen a nose on a person that is actually that long and pointy, like sticking out like several inches.
The only time I've seen it is on like stage makeup, like when people wear a fake nose,
like wear a prosthetic nose.
Yeah. Check out the face on that nose. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, anyway. That's Creature's illustration. Thank you, Mary Grand
Pré.
That's
Creature for you, and thank you very much, Mary Grand Pré.
Yeah, we're forever in your debt here. So yeah, Ron does mention before we actually see him again, he says that he bolts the door every night because Creature, the first night that Ron was there, Creature came wandering in at 3 a.m. Trust me, you don't want to wake up and find him prowling around your room. So. I guess that's probably kind of like what this picture is from, maybe. It's him prowling around the room at 3.
Yeah, maybe. The description that we're going to get of Creature is not very nice. And I mean, it's kind of from Harry's perspective, and Harry's using it pronouns to talk about Creature. I, I don't really think that that's very nice of Harry.
Well, I do think it's at first just because he hasn't actually met Creature. Like, once we hear Creature's dialogue, Harry starts using he, him, I think.
But so before, I mean, and it's because actually... he's referring to the house elf, so.
Right.
But it I don't know. It goes on for, like, a whole paragraph of describing him with... And, I mean, Harry knows that it's a male house elf because he's heard them talk about him.
Right. Well, the last mention before we actually get to Harry's description is that Mrs. Weasley is kind of talking about how the house is in such bad shape because of that house elf. And Hermione defends him again. Creature's really old. He probably couldn't manage. And Sirius, you'd be surprised what this creature can manage when he wants to, Hermione. Yeah, have you seen the muscles on that back?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I mean... Not that I think Creature should be, you know, tasked with having to keep this house clean, but I think he's perfectly capable of doing so if he wanted to, based on his muscular structure.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so back to this description of Creature. Except for the filthy rag tied like a loincloth around its middle, it was completely naked. It looked very old. Its skin seemed to be several times too big for it. And
I think so that answers the question about the rolls or muscles. Yeah. It was skin.
And though it was bald like all house elves, there was a quantity of white hair growing out of its large bat-like ears. Well, Mary Grand Prey nailed that. Its eyes were a bloodshot and watery gray, and its fleshy nose was large and rather snout-like. Now, I would describe that picture as rather snout-like. I would describe that as extremely snout-like.
Well, no, it's not like a snout at all.
No, it's not.
It's
you're
like
right.
So long and skinny.
I would describe it as extremely Pinocchio-like.
You ended before we got to this part. Its muscles were rippling like Harry had never seen before.
Yeah. Wait, I'm missing that. Where is that?
Just kidding. Is
that in the same paragraph? Oh, okay. I was like, that would be a really
That was the original source material that was sent to Mary Grand Prey.
Right, okay. They took it out for that. It was NSFW. So, yeah. Okay. But yeah, we get to hear his first conversation here.
Smells like a drain and a criminal to boot, but she's no better. Nasty old poor traitor with her brats messing up my mistress's house. Oh, my poor mistress. If she knew the scum they've let in her house, what would she say to old Creature? Oh, shame of it, mudbloods and werewolves, traitors and thieves. Poor old Creature, what can he do?
I think your Creature is my favorite of your impressions.
Wow. Well, it is the most different, I would say. It doesn't have the same timbre as all the other goofy characters.
Exactly. And I think it pretty much sounds exactly like how I picture Creature talking.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. I feel like I kind of nailed it on that one, but it's not always perfect.
Well, I like how Creature's just like muttering. And like we said, I mean, Creature himself is a problematic character in many ways, but, you know, he's not a very nice character. He has some very racist ideas, or not, I guess that's not quite the right word. He has some very prejudiced ideas.
Yeah, I mean, they are racist in the wizard world. It's not exactly like, again, the author doesn't handle these things with super great care, so it's not really detailed enough to, like, really, I don't know, it's an allegory for racism, I guess, but it's, some of it is, like, there's the whole layer of, like, he's his own species, too, and then, yeah.
But I mean, some of these views that he's expressing are extremely dangerous.
But, and there's the mudblood standing there, bold as brass. Oh, if my mistress knew, oh, how she'd cry. And there's a new boy. Creature doesn't know his name. What's he doing here? Creature doesn't know.
And also, Creature is clearly, very clearly been influenced by Mrs. Black. So I don't want to necessarily, like, say this was 100%, like, all his fault, because he is a product of this horrible family and system and everything. So, I mean, he's kind of, it makes sense that he turned out this way. But he's got some pretty bad views.
Hermione says, like, he doesn't know what he's saying. He's not in his right mind. And Fred, don't kid yourself, Hermione. He knows exactly what he's saying. And I do feel like Creature kind of proves that, because he's like, he realizes it's Harry, like Hermione has said, this is Harry Potter, and Creature knows exactly who Harry Potter is. So he's clearly not, like, out of it, because he's been following up he's aware of current events, you know?
Right. I do feel like both of them kind of, Hermione and Fred both simplify it a little bit. Like, Hermione trying to excuse Creature completely from these views, that's not really accurate either. Like, he definitely has responsibility for the way that he's talking, and he has enough awareness of the world and everything that he clearly does know what he's saying. But again, like, I think maybe what Hermione's trying to kind of say is like, you know, this is what he's grown up with, or like, this is
right,
this
is product of his environment, or right. Yeah,
so
right. Then Sirius comes in and is like, what are you up to?
Creature's cleaning. Creature lives to serve the noble house of Black.
I do have to say, like, it cracks me up a little bit when Creature gets a little bit, like, sarcastic, or like just says these snarky comments, like he's cleaning, he loves to serve the house of Black,
right?
And whatever master says, that master's not fit to wipe slime from his mother's boots. Oh, my poor mistress, what would she say if she saw Creature serving him? How she hated him, what a disappointment he was.
That, see, that line, like, that he is extremely shady, and it cracks me up.
Yeah, like, Creature would never move anything from its proper place in Master's house. Mistress would never forgive Creature if the tapestry was thrown out. 7 centuries has been in the family.
It's very, very Gollum-like.
Yeah, definitely. So I wonder if there was any inspiration taken from that. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, I can see how this would drive Sirius absolutely crazy, like having Creature making these comments. I mean, so I'm not trying to say like it's funny, you know, because it's not mean. Like, I can see how this would be very irritating and like hurtful to Sirius too. But at the same time, like, Creature is definitely a master of shade and like kind of knowing exactly how to get under his skin.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sirius also is very much a product of his environment, like, very, like, he hates being here, too, and Creature's just a reminder of all the things he hates, obviously, so they're just, it's a recipe for disaster.
He's not nice to Creature at all, either.
No, exactly, that's what I'm saying, is, like, it's just a recipe for disaster. They're both treating each other horribly.
Right.
Yeah, so then, speaking of the tapestry, well, first of all, Sirius does mention, like, we can't give him clothes. We can't free him because he knows too much. So that's another foreshadowing.
You know, one thing I would like to kind of track is who do we feel like has the most accurate read on Creature in all of this? Because Sirius makes some good points about Creature. Like, he says he's been alone too long, taking mad orders from my mother's portrait and talking to himself, but he was always foul. So it's like, I feel like he has that good point of like, well, he has been alone in this house for however many years and mainly interacting with his crazy mother's portrait. Like, yes, that you can see how that would definitely impact Creature. But then also, like, Sirius has some really bad takes on Creature as well.
Yeah, true. So yeah, that's, he's also not really saying it in a super fair way. Like, he's kind of saying it like that makes him horrible. Like, he's not giving any kind of, like, empathy when he says that.
Right. But, see, like, who actually understands Creature the most out of any of these characters, I would be interested to kind of track that. I don't think any of them really 100% get him.
No, I don't think so either. And Creature himself, I mean, I think by the end of it, Harry sort of gets it.
Dumbledore, but... yes, but, like, Dumbledore's also so removed from the situation, and it's always like, oh, Dumbledore's so wise. I mean... It's a little bit more of like a theoretical understanding of Creature.
Right. It's not like Dumbledore really did anything either, which is very typical. Like, Dumbledore maybe had the answers, but he didn't like prevent it. I don't know. Like, it's kind of frustrating the way Dumbledore is.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so moving on to the tapestry, like, Sirius mentions Creature a couple times as he's like showing Harry the tapestry. First of all, Sirius tells Harry that Creature loves to talk about the story about when Sirius got blasted off the tapestry. That, like, basically, it's kind of interesting because the fact that Sirius mentions, like, a minute later, he talks about how Creature's supposed to do anything anyone in the family tells him to do, but he doesn't take any orders from Tonks because she's not on the tapestry. Well, Sirius isn't on that tapestry either, so kind of don't really get the...
Yeah, I don't know, like, maybe this just, like, the bloodline is, you know, more obvious that Sirius is the direct descendant of Mrs. Black, even though he's not on the tapestry, and Tonks is a lot more like just a side character.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it. Well, I mean, I guess that, like, it's like a distinct, or sorry, a, like, immediate relative of his mistress,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
rather than a niece. But yeah, so then this is another foreshadowing of him saying he's supposed to do whatever anyone in the family asks him.
Right.
And then he mentions Bellatrix and Narcissa being on there.
Right. The other thing I was just wondering is maybe because clearly the house still went to Sirius. And so right. It's kind of like when Harry inherits Creature, it's like Creature comes with the house. So maybe there's still that magical force, whereas I don't think that Tonks has any claim to this house.
Right. I love thinking of the Zillow listing for this house, like cooling, other, heating, other, like special notes, like comes with old house elf or something, like right. Non-negotiable or something.
Yeah, I think that's probably a downside on purchasing this particular home.
Yeah, I think so. okay, so then we kind of jump into this whole passage of time a little bit as they're cleaning up the house, or as Harry says they're waging war on the house.
This is how I feel every time I have to like clean the house before we're going to host like a party or an event at our house. I'm always like, I feel like I am waging a battle against our house.
Yeah, Alice loves to text me like, waged a war on the basement today, or waged a war on this garage, like that kind of thing.
So I get it.
So one of the things that they're like makes the cleaning difficult for them is that anytime they try to like get rid of anything, Creature's there to like try to steal it and try to hoard it away. So for instance, we see a large golden ring bearing the black crest, which Creature burst into tears about, calling Sirius names Harry had never heard before. And Sirius mentions that that was his father's. Creature wasn't quite as devoted to him as to my mother, but I still caught him snogging a pair of my father's old trousers last week. Okay.
Good one, Sirius.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously I think this is a pretty well done scene where we're going to see the locket just very, like subtly mentioned in the midst of a whole bunch of other objects, that, you know, are black family heirlooms or whatever. So we have the heavy locket that none of them could open. And obviously that's Master Regulus's locket.
Right. So good eye there, Alice, keeping your mystery eyes open here.
That's right.
So another funny Creature moment is when Sirius threatens him with clothes. And Creature,
Master must do as Master wishes, but Master will not turn Creature away, no, because Creature knows what they're up to. Oh, yes, he's plotting against the Dark Lord, yes, with these mudbloods and traitors and scum.
Like, good way for Creature to just, like, subtly remind them, like, yeah, you can't really let, like, fire me, because I know too much. He knows, he's very smart, he really is.
Oh, yeah, he knows exactly what he's saying, Hermione.
Exactly. Oh, so, Hermione, he knows exactly what he's saying.
Anyway, so there's not much other, like, big Creature mentions for a while. After Harry has he accidentally sees Mrs. Weasley with the boggart. Harry has a nightmare that night, which includes Mrs. Weasley sobbing over Creature's dead body.
Is that supposed to be some sort of foreshadowing, or is that just more?
I think it's just more silly, or not silly, like Harry's mind, like random. Showing. Yeah, I think it's just him like grappling with having seen Mrs. Weasley. Yeah,
yeah, and all the different things he's been seeing in the last few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Because while that's happening, they're being watched by Ron and Hermione, who are wearing crowns.
I thought maybe it was foreshadowing to when we would see Creature and Dobby's bodies side by side in the Great
Next
Hall.
Next to the Creevy brothers.
Exactly.
Okay, so then as we move to Hogwarts, we're going to get some like mentions of Creature. We're not going to really see him much until Christmas, but we have a scene where Sirius is talking to the trio in the fire, and he mentions Creature. He makes a joke about how Umbridge has been trying to round up all the werewolves and merpeople. He says, imagine wasting your time and energy persecuting merpeople when there are little toe rags like Creature on the loose. And Hermione, Sirius.
I mean, it's not quite the amazing mic drop moment that Sirius thinks it is. I'm like,
right.
So how about you don't focus on rounding up any of these little creatures?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Sirius just ignores Hermione.
Sirius.
Yeah, as if he's going to respond to that.
I love how Hermione like feels the need to lecture Sirius. I mean,
right.
good for her for standing up for what she believes in. I actually really do admire that. But it always, it's always so futile because you know Sirius is like not going to respond well to that at all.
Right, exactly. So before we actually go to Grimmauld Place for Christmas, Harry's not planning to go there for Christmas. So he's like feeling really sad for Sirius and he's wondering whether they could possibly persuade Mrs. Weasley to invite Sirius. But he just is thinking about how Sirius is going to be locked up at Grimmauld Place, perhaps pulling a lonely cracker with Creature.
Okay. Harry's imagination at times, I can relate to it. I'm sure you can too. Picturing these weird things that are super not going to happen.
Right.
But like, there's no way that Sirius and Creature are going to pull a cracker together.
Like, if I'm sure both of them would much rather be alone than be together.
Yeah, I don't think they hang out even out of necessity.
Right, exactly. That just cracks me up that Harry's thinking of that. So luckily for Sirius, they do end up spending Christmas together because of the snake incident with Arthur. So they show up at Grimmauld Place, and the first thing we see as they arrive is we hear Creature say, "Back again, the blood traitor brats. Is it true their father's dying?" And then Sirius yells out at him.
Yeah, what a sensitive comment. Is it true their father's dying?
Very rude.
Like, I know. This is why Creature kills me, just like with some of his side comments. I don't know. Nobody else, and not that he does get away with it, but definitely nobody else could get away with it as much as he does.
No. And again, it's very, very Gollum-like, which both you and I find Gollum pretty hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Sirius yelling at Creature out, actually kind of more understandable than some of the times that he's like rude to Creature. But it's important because this is going to be when Creature actually makes his first trip to Malfoy Manor or to Bellatrix to cook up the plan that he's going to be hatching.
Right. He loosely interprets that particular directive.
Right, kind of accidentally on purpose, because the next morning, Creature's gone. Sirius can't find him, and he's trying to get Creature to make breakfast for them, but then he just gives up, and he's like, okay, I guess we'll make it ourselves.
No, that's kind of, I feel like that's a little bit of a plot hole, because he should be able to summon Creature to him, right? Like,
right.
Isn't that, Creature... Yeah, he should be able to say, like, Creature, and then he would appear.
Right, that's how it works later in the series.
Right.
So, yeah, at this point, it's treated like he's just yelling Creature's name. He's not actually summoning Creature to him.
Right, and, like, there's no way we can get Creature to come if we can't find him.
Right, which doesn't really make sense, yeah. But he is, like, he's gone for several days because then we get to Christmas and Hermione has a Christmas present for him. She's knitted him a blanket. And so they go to Creature's bedroom and... It's not so much a bedroom, more a kind of den, which really means more like a animal's den, more not really like a den that would be like a room in a house.
Right, not because, like, let's go to the den and watch TV.
Right, like it's like the space underneath the boiler.
I feel like they should have called it his lair.
Right. I don't think Hermione would refer to it that way.
No,
but
I don't think so either.
It says that most of the cupboard was taken up with a large and old-fashioned boiler, but in the foot space underneath the pipes, Creature had made himself something that looked like a nest. A jumble of assorted rags and smelly old blankets were piled on the floor, and the small dent in the middle of it showed where Creature curled up to sleep every night.
That's really depressing.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, here and there among the material were stale bread crusts and moldy old bits of cheese.
I mean, I guess it fits because he is kind of an old man, but... like, it's just interesting. Like, I don't know. I wonder if other house elves, not that I need to know that much more about house elves, but, like, is it typical that they don't have any kind of bed for themselves? They have to old rags and blankets?
I feel like at a place like Malfoy Manor or Grimmauld Place, probably yes, but I feel like I always picture the house elves of Hogwarts having, like, a dormitory, but maybe that's just...
Yeah, that's what I would think, too, but who knows?
Yeah. Hokey probably sleeps in Hepzibah's bed with her.
Probably.
So then we see like some photographs are hung up around the room or the den, including a photo of Bellatrix Lestrange, which says by the looks of it, hers was Creature's favorite photograph. He had placed it to the fore of all the others and had mended the glass clumsily with spello tape.
Yeah, which that should be a very big red flag. Like, I know that they know Creature likes the pure blood family, and the family that is devoted to that aspect. But like, it's a little bit disturbing that he's like worshiping Bellatrix.
Yeah, definitely. And I do wonder if like Harry's interpretation of this being his favorite photo is not so much more so like he has that photo there because that's who he's going to see. I mean, he probably does love the photo, but I wonder if it's almost like in a TV show, like you could see like that being the photo that's like zoomed in on as like,
right,
this is who I'm going to, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I do think it is, you know, foreshadowing in order for us to try
definitely,
to
yeah.
figure out what's really going on with Creature.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, speaking of that photo, Hermione mentions that after Harry tells them about what Neville's parents are in St. Mungo's for. He says, like, Bellatrix Lestrange got sent to Azkaban for that. And Hermione knows her as that woman Creature's got a photo of in his den.
Right. And I think Hermione there, I mean, she's learning that Creature is more complex than what she's maybe assumed that he was. And so she is a bit horrified to find out that he's been worshiping Bellatrix, like
what
she's done. So this is kind of a lesson for Hermione, even though I generally speaking do feel like Hermione's got the right feel on the whole house elf situation. I think sometimes her mistake is oversimplifying, like not ever giving them much agency themselves in the choices that house elves make.
Yeah, I think so too.
But yeah, I mean, here I think she's kind of learning. Creature has made some bad choices, even though he's in a bad situation.
Yeah, exactly. So then we finally, Creature does show up again a few more days after Christmas. It's described as he's been lurking in the attic. Sirius has found him up there covered in dust. No doubt looking for more relics of the Black family to hide at his cupboard. Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt at all. We know that's what he was doing.
Right. Harry does have some suspicions, though. It says that he seemed to be in a better mood. His bitter mutterings had subsided somewhat, and he submitted to orders more docilely than usual.
Right. He is acting very suspicious. And I don't remember for sure. I feel like when I read this the first time, I probably fell prey to like the same. I just dismissed it. I didn't really think that much of this.
Yeah, I don't think I did either, but there is like the speculation of like the last time we saw him was when Creature yelled at him to get out.
Right.
So it is spelled out a little bit.
Like, it should be somewhat obvious, and not necessarily that he is leaking information or anything, but like it's clear that he's up to something and that we don't know what's going on with him.
So exactly. But he's hiding something.
Right.
Yeah, so then the next mention of him is going to be when Harry talks to Sirius and Lupin in the fire, and Harry sees Lupin first because Sirius is upstairs because Lupin says he went upstairs to look for Creature. He seems to be hiding in the attic again. So Creature makes multiple trips to and from Bellatrix at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, it's becoming more and more suspicious. Like, he's missing frequently. He's been, like... Yeah, I don't know. I think like it definitely makes sense that the characters don't pay too much attention because, again, they're like just, you know, not giving the house elf very much credit. But I think it should be pretty obvious that he's up to something.
Yeah, exactly. I think if we were at Grimmauld Place, like, and that was like the scene that we were seeing more often, I feel like the reader would be more like likely to notice something. But since it's just a couple different mentions and Harry's not there to see it,
right,
it's a little bit less suspicious.
Right.
So all our suspicions or not suspicions of Creature finally come to a head when Harry goes to look in the fire for Sirius after having his dream. And Harry calls out Sirius's name a couple times. And Creature really plays this just like as immaculately as he could. Like, this is a pretty...
This is
pretty
highly,
well-rehearsed plan.
Honestly, this is the most, like, disturbed I've been by Creature because he's very, like, he's a good actor and it's almost, like, psychopathic here.
It's very scary. Like, Master has gone out, Harry Potter.
Right. And he delivers it in a very believable manner for what Harry would expect Creature to be saying here.
Nobody here but Creature. Creature thinks he will have a little chat with his mistress now. Yes, he hasn't had a chance in a long time. Creature's master's been keeping him away from her.
Yeah, it's super creepy. And he's acting And then how he's like laughing and stuff too. Where's he gone, creature? Creature merely cackled.
Yeah. And creature told you all this and laughed.
Yeah, exactly. Creature lied.
Yeah.
Master does not tell poor creature where he's going. Master will not come back from the Department of Mysteries if our creature and his mistress are alone again.
Well, what we haven't heard you do yet, though, is what if is creature cackling.
Oh, I don't think anybody wants to hear that.
I think everybody wants to hear that. yeah. I think you've got it. Yeah, I mean, it's especially knowing what really happened, it's very creepy to read this. Like, I think the first time you read it, you're just filled with dread. Like, oh my gosh, creature's, you know, kind of crazy. And he
comes creeping into view. He looked highly delighted about something, though he seemed to have recently sustained a nasty injury to both hands, which were heavily bandaged.
And that's when he's been punishing himself. Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly.
For disobeying Sirius?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, all the signs are there. Like, we know that house elves do that from Dobby. So I do feel like if Harry was paying a little bit more attention, maybe he could have, or if Sirius was paying any attention.
I mean, yeah, at this point, Harry, I cannot really blame Harry for not seeing through this because he's had this really disturbing vision. He's also 15. He's had, like, nobody explain anything to him all year. Like, right. All of this, like, it all kind of just makes sense. It fits with Harry's version of events that he's figured out in his head.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess I was probably putting too much on Harry. I'm just saying, like, this is a very supremely frustrating situation because the signs were there and you just wish, like, that somebody would have noticed. And Harry really isn't the one to blame because, like you said, he's 15 and had no information.
Yeah, exactly. So. So creature just, like, disappears again and Harry takes this as confirmation that Sirius is gone. And then, of course, Harry gets pulled out of the fire by Umbridge. So we don't get anything else about creature until we get Dumbledore explaining what happened in the Lost Prophecy chapter. And he sets up, of course, we love to quote, creature lied. Creature you are lied. Not his master. He could lie to you without even needing to punish himself.
Wow.
Creature intended you to go to the Ministry of Magic.
Intended you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a Britishism. Is that even a word, what I just said?
I don't think that's
Briticism.
A word. Briticism?
I don't know. I just made that
don't
up.
Don't criticize it, Alice.
Yeah.
Critical thinking is important on this podcast.
Critical thinking is very important so that we don't Briticize when it's, that's just how they say it
now,
in British English.
Do you take constructive Briticism?
I really don't.
I mean, I do think that... if you look at creature's buns, seems like he takes constructive criticism.
This is getting weirder.
Okay. Oh, yes. Creature, I am afraid, has been serving more than one master for months.
This is what sort of annoys me about Dumbledore here is how easily he's put this together. I guess maybe that's who I'm frustrated with in all of this.
It's also the calm voice that he's using. Like,
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You didn't figure this out? It kind of is patronizing a little bit. I don't think he intends it that way.
He was able to question Creature the night before. So he's gotten all the answers already. So it's not like he really did know all this in advance. But I'm kind of like, Dumbledore to me is the one who should have for sure put this all together ahead of time.
He easily could have. Like, he just is such a, like, let things happen as they may, let the chips fall as they may, like, don't interfere. It just
What's
is a very
frustrating...
What's it
to me if somebody lives or dies?
Right, exactly. Dumbledore, and it's again, like, just like, if he just put his brain power to use earlier, he probably would have figured it out and could have stopped it. But, of course, he's just like, what's that philosophy called where it's like you just let things happen as like and don't ever interfere.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I'm not.
It's like an approach to leadership that's
man plans, God laughs.
Yeah, basically.
And in this case, Dumbledore is God.
Laissez-faire, I guess, is maybe part of it, but yeah. He just like watches, like if he just put his mind to things, he could stop things from happening.
Well, and I feel like he just was so disconnected from everything this year. And it doesn't make a lot of sense because this was the year that the Order of the Phoenix was like getting back on the ground. I don't understand why he wasn't at the headquarters more often or interacting with Sirius, telling people what was going on.
He might have accidentally made eye contact with Harry.
And he might have, I don't know what Dumbledore's problem was in this book. This was definitely not his book.
No, it's definitely not. If I were Harry, I'd break some of his objects as well.
You see, Creature was not able to betray us totally. He is not secret keeper for the Order. He could not give the Malfoys our whereabouts or tell them any of the Order's confidential plans. Well, congrats, Dumbledore, then no harm done.
Okay. He was bound by the enchantments of his kind, which is to say that he could not disobey a direct order from his master, Sirius.
Right. Well, congrats, Dumbledore, then it all worked out just as he wanted.
Right. Yet it does say that the reason that Sirius wasn't there when Creature talked to Harry in the fire is because Creature injured Buckbeak, so that Sirius
could tend to him. No, that's gonna be crossing a line. You don't touch Bucky. Line.
Right. So that I have to say, we said the most disturbing was him laughing about Sirius being gone. But no, to me, it's definitely the fact that the reason he was laughing, or the reason that Sirius wasn't there, was because Creature had gone behind the scenes and hurt Buckbeak.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's awful.
It's terrible.
Poor Bucky.
Poor Bucky. Bucky probably thought he was going to be getting a treat.
I also kind of forgot that Bucky was like living at Grimmauld Place.
Yeah, I always forget that too. Like, poor Bucky.
Poor Bucky in a lot of ways, because I don't think he enjoys living in a house.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I know he loves Sirius, but I do think it's kind of like almost for the best that Sirius returns him to Hogwarts when he dies.
Yeah, I feel like that too. I don't know. Maybe it was too soon for him to go back to Hogwarts this year, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Creature, Harry's pretty disturbed by all this. And Harry says, like, this is just like, he's like, Hermione kept telling us to be nice to him. And he gets mad about that. And Dumbledore, she was quite right, Harry. I warned Sirius when we adopted 12 Grimmauld Place as our headquarters, that Creature must be treated with kindness and respect. I also told him that Creature could be dangerous to us. I do not think that Sirius took me very seriously, or that he ever saw Creature as a being with feelings as acute as a human's.
Right. Dumbledore's being, I can see why Harry gets annoyed here, because, you know, Dumbledore's being very just analytical about Sirius, and in a way that kind of doesn't necessarily empathize with Sirius.
Right.
And I think Dumbledore is right on paper, you know, like, I agree with him about what he's saying about Creature and how Sirius shouldn't have treated Creature the way he was, and he shouldn't have dismissed him like that. But also, I don't know, it's frustrating to have Dumbledore just analyzing it from this place of, like, this, like, distant place.
Right. It definitely, I can see why Harry gets so mad.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Dumbledore, again, here's his analysis of Creature. He says, Creature is what he has been made by wizards. So, yes, but that takes out a little bit of Creature's own agency. But I would agree, like, he is a product of his circumstances. Yes, he is to be pitied. His existence has been as miserable as your friend Dobby's. He was forced to do Sirius's bidding because Sirius was the last of the family to which he was enslaved, but he felt no true loyalty to him. And whatever Creature's faults, it must be admitted that Sirius did nothing to make Creature's life or Creature's lot easier.
Right. And Dumbledore does say, like, that it was his fault. A minute later, he says, finally, like, it was a mistake to trust that would work. Like, he says that Sirius was not a cruel man. He was kind to house elves in general. He had no love for Creature because Creature was a living reminder of the home that Sirius had hated.
Right.
So,
I mean, once again, this just shows how messed up the whole house elf system is, because we're seeing that, you know, Sirius as a good person who likes a lot of house elves, he doesn't see Creature as a living being. He just sees him as like a symbol of his childhood. And that's not right, because obviously Creature is a sentient being that does have feelings and his own life. So just tying him up like he's part, like an object, part of the house, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, like, it's not a Dumbledore character study, but if it were, I'd be very, like, have a lot of words to say about Dumbledore in this, because he sort of admits fault a little bit, but not enough, in my opinion, because it just is like, I do think that Sirius, of course, could have treated Creature with more kindness, but there was a lot that was like mishandled.
And, you know, now the more I'm thinking about it, if Creature's allowed to come work at Hogwarts next year, why on earth couldn't they have just done that this year?
Right, exactly.
Like, why did he have to be in Grimmauld Place with them? Like,
he definitely didn't have to.
They could have said, okay, Creature's going to be sent to Hogwarts. Not that that's necessarily, like, what Creature wants to do, but, like, it feels like I don't understand why. Like, that was just a really toxic environment for him and Sirius to be together all the time. And for them to know that they had this liability in the house with them was really stupid.
I agree.
So, like, have him work in the Hogwarts kitchens.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Like, I get that they can't just free him outright, because then he's going to go straight to the Death Eaters, but...
Master must do as Master wishes.
Exactly. But yeah, the fact that he's able to do that next book is kind of weird now that we didn't have that as an option this book.
Agreed.
Maybe some people will say it's because, like, when Harry's his master, Harry's at Hogwarts. But I don't really buy that because, like, Creature stays there when Harry goes other places.
Right. I just think that, like, it was just something the author hadn't thought of as an option yet.
Right. Well, and we wouldn't have had him as this really good literary device.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's, of course, can't forget that.
Right.
Okay. Well, that sums up our discussion of Creature in the fifth book. It turns out we are going to make this a two-parter. We're going to talk about Creature in the sixth and seventh books next week. Want to make sure that we properly eulogize him and his little body in the Great Hall.
Yeah, exactly. Very sad moment when we're going to see a bunch of little bodies all side by side.
It turns out, though, Creature is a more complex character than maybe I had remembered. And I mean, I knew he was complex, but he's in there more. And I do feel like there's enough to discuss to make this a two-parter.
Yeah. And I mean, he plays a really significant role, especially in the seventh book, not as much in the sixth book. But we want to make sure we have time to go into his whole saga with RAB and everything like that.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll quickly rate Creature in this book. I think heart 5.
Heart 5, humor 10.
Yeah, well, he is pretty funny.
He is very funny, yeah.
Heart, I would probably say 2.
2 or a 1?
I think 2 because he is still passionate about the house and protecting the house and stuff.
He lives to serve the noble house of Black.
I don't think it's as awful as 1.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think we gave Voldemort 0, so I think But yeah, we can give him a 2, because, I mean, it's not completely his fault that he is the way he is.
Right, and he has a lot of loyalty, if not, I don't know. Okay, humor, I think maybe 4?
Yeah, I would give him at least 4.
I don't think we could go to 5.
I think it's hard to give a house elf 5, because there's always, like... There's always, like, the weirdness of it being a house elf and, like, the all
Well, and it's a very, like, messed up sense of humor, too, for him.
Yeah, he's pretty mean.
Right. And, like,
twisted.
You know, prejudice and stuff, too, yeah.
Right, yeah. That's none of that. I don't find that stuff funny.
Okay, good. Thank you for making that clear.
Yeah.
So then, for uniqueness and creativity, maybe 3?
I would say a 3. I would agree with that, because, like I said... The one good thing is that he is very different than the other house elves we've seen so far.
Right.
And he has a very unique story, even if it's not the creativity. I'm not sure if it's totally creative, but it is very unique.
Yeah. And then I think depth probably 2 or 1.
I think 2 for now, because he is more complex.
True. He's more complex than most of the characters give him credit for.
Right.
All right. Well, you can find our list of upcoming Real Weirdos on our website, realweirdsisters.com. We are in our Order of the Phoenix Real Weirdos right now for our character studies. You can also make sure that you're following us on all of our social media, facebook.com/realweirdsisters, Twitter @realweirdsister, Instagram @realweirdsisterspod. And of course, number one way to support the show is by going to patreon.com/realweirdsisters. And giving us financial support there. We would love it if you would become a member of the patron community. We release extra shows every month, and that's a great benefit of becoming a patron, among many other things as well.
Indeed.
And finally, number two way to support the show is by making sure that you're subscribed in whatever podcast app you use and giving us a 5-star rating and review there as well. no new reviews to read this week, but thank you to everybody who has written us reviews.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week to talk about Creature in the 6th and 7th books. This time it's going to be Creature from the Black Lagoon, I believe. And until then, we're the Real Weird Sisters.
We're the Weird Sisters, we're the Real Weird Sisters. All you other Weird Sisters are fine, but not the Vickers. Will the Real Weird Sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.